Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish will be looking at Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, in a study entitled Holiness and Worship. So grab your Bible and let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
But I think also there's something else being communicated here, not just practically so that everyone could see it. I think they need to understand something of the power and the majesty and the glory and the holiness of God. That God is separate from man. He's going to manifest His glory. It has nothing to do with man, and we are to stand back. We are to be in fear, in awe of this God that we serve. And for the rest of our time together, that's what I want to address, especially as it relates to worship as a congregation and as us coming before the presence of the Lord. How are we to do that? If God's saying, stay back more than a half a mile, there must be something about His nature and His character that we haven't quite grasped yet as His children. And I believe that part of it relates to the fact that God is an absolute holy being that we haven't quite grasped in our approach to Him as we worship Him. And I hope that that'll be adjusted somewhat today as we look at some of these scriptures. So let's look at the bad examples or the examples of what not to do in relationship to the holiness of God. And I'll give you two examples of that from the Old Testament. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, this is when Moses is going to go up on Mount Sinai and receive the Ten Commandments. Look at verse 12. Moses is going to go up on the mountain. He's going to say, don't let anyone touch the mountain. Set up these boundaries so that nobody touches the mountain or comes near, or even the animals. Don't let the animals come near this mountain. Verse 12 says, you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. God is going to manifest His presence here on top of Mount Sinai, and He says, everyone stand back. Put some boundaries. Make sure, because if someone crosses over and touches the base of that mountain, they're to be put to death. And God is later in this chapter going to say, I'm the one that's going to put them to death. They come and touch that mountain, and they are going to be touched by God. they're going to be dead. They're going to be wiped out by His presence. So He tells Moses, make sure you set these boundaries up so they can't cross over that. Look at verse 16. So then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So picture the presence of God being manifested in these different ways, and then the whole mountain starts to shake. I mean, who is this God that we are serving? Who is this God that we are worshiping? These are the questions that need to begin to be asked when you start reading something, how God's revealing His nature here. God's revealing something about His character to these people. Stand back, lest you die. There needs to be something of that in the church today. And I think what has happened is because we come in through Jesus Christ, and I've taught you well that you have direct access to the presence of God because of the mediator, Jesus Christ. And we can come in there boldly and receive the grace and help that we need. But that doesn't take away from the fact that we should stand in awe of this God now that we come in by His grace, and He is absolutely holy, and we are sinful, and we are separated still because of that, and God's the one that has made the way. His nature has not changed. From Old Testament to New Testament. What you read about the Old Testament is something to communicate to us about how holy and how powerful and how mighty the Lord is. So mighty that when His presence shows up, this mountain begins to quake. Let's read on. Verse 19, when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai in the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through, to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Don't let them get curious and want to look, oh, what's happening? Since that happens, they get close, and they will die. Also let the priests who come near the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you are the people... The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set boundaries around the mountain and sanctify it. Then the Lord said to them, "Away, get down and come up, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the people and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." When we look at this portion of Scripture, we have to begin to ask the question about the holiness and the majesty of God. Does my worship, does our worship as a congregation somehow reflect how holy and glorious God is? That there is a sense of fear within my heart. There is a sense of reverence and awe for how awesome God is. Think of Exodus 33, verse 20, where Moses said to God, "I want to see your face." And this is what God said to him, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see my face and live." Do you realize even as believers, we're not able to, in this body to see the glory, the eternal glory and holiness of God and live and survive that experience? That's how overwhelming and majestic God is. Now, how should that type of God be worshipped? It seems to be that he's the one that sets the pattern. He's the one that dictates how he's to be worshipped, not me just coming any way that I want. And I choose on my agenda, on my way to worship the Lord. But God, I humble myself before you. Help me to honor you in a way that you're deserving of. If you are so powerful and so awesome that no one can even look upon you, God, teach me how to worship you in spirit and in truth. Those are questions that many believers never ask. They just think you come to church, you sing some songs, you worship how you feel, and it's over. And then God says, no. If you're going to come before me, you need to understand that he's holy and how awesome he is, and that worship needs to reflect the God that we are worshiping. We have to ask these questions. I think many believers have never even thought of some of these concepts. And they come to church week after week offering the worship the way they want, the way they desire, what they are comfortable with, never asking God, "God, make me a worshiper. Teach me how to worship you in spirit and in truth." Well, let's go over to the book of Leviticus, and you'll see some people that worshiped on their own terms and how God responded to that. Leviticus chapter 9. And here's where I believe you'll see a great contrast of worship that is pleasing to God and worship that God does not accept. And Leviticus chapter 9 is the account where Aaron and his sons are set apart. The Bible says it's sanctified for the priesthood. God's saying this is a family line. It's from the tribe of Levi here. The priests are going to come before me, and I'm going to start with Aaron and his family. No one else is able to come before me and serve as a priest before God. So they had to go through all these sacrifices to make sure they were set apart or sanctified. And God is going to show his approval on Aaron and his sons and on these priests that are being dedicated to the Lord by this miracle that took place here starting at verse 22. It says, "And Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle meeting and came out and blessed the people. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted, and they fell on their faces." That seems just to be a common response when God's presence shows up. People fall on their faces. I like to say there's a lot of broken noses all through the Bible. If you fell on your face here, you may hurt a little bit more because we have pews and everything, but that's the response, an utter humility. I'm nothing, you are everything. And what God was doing, by his grace, he consumed this burnt offering that was there on the altar, and God was communicating, "I accept these men as priests. These are now priests unto me," and God was showing his approval on this worship, on this sacrificial system, on the priesthood. The same exact thing happened in 2 Chronicles 7 when Solomon dedicated his temple. The same fire came out of heaven and consumed that burnt offering, and the people were kind of overwhelmed as they fell on their faces once again. Then it says the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and it says the priests weren't even able to stand because the glory was so overwhelming. It just seems that man humbles himself when the true presence of God shows up. And God was saying, "I accept